Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for staying with us. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast to coast. Folks, many of you have heard me say over the years that you probably got a book in you. You're a regular small business owner, but you probably got a book in you. And I run into people all the time. In fact, I said it to somebody this week who's nearing retirement, and he's seen so many things. And I said, you know, you got a book in you. And you know, we talked about that a little bit. Well, Jack Mitchell is somebody that I want to reintroduce to you. You've met Jack before a couple of times. Jack's a regular business owner, small business owner, just like you and me. But he's been around a while. He's seen a lot of things. He's waited on a lot of customers. He's made a lot of people happy. He's maybe even made a mistake or two. And he just had a book in him. It just welled up inside of him, and it finally came out. It's absolutely a wonderful book. It's a bestseller called Hug Your Customers, The Proven Ways to Personalize Sales and Achieve Astounding Results by Jack Mitchell. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. A real pleasure to be back.
Well, it's good to have you back on the show, and I just want to congratulate you. I understand that the book is now in its fourth printing, over 60,000 copies, and it's only been out, what, about 3 months?
Only 2 months, Jim. Two
wow.
months and a couple of days.
I
pinch myself every time I get up in the morning here, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled.
Well, I'm so glad that you're giving Hillary a run for her money at the bookstore.
I'm not Hillary,
there.
Please. I'm not Hillary. I'm not Jack Welch. But I'm just delighted. I'm getting emails and phone calls and so forth from throughout this great country of ours and actually abroad. People that, you know, have forgotten that, you know, the whole idea of staying close to your customer and hugging your customer and being nice to people, that caring, thoughtful touches that we're all about in our family business. And my book, you know, talks about it, especially in these challenging economic and political times. It's sort of nice to hug people and make them feel good, and that's what we've been doing in our family business for a long time.
For a long time, over 50 years, haven't you?
Yes, exactly.
And now your dad started the business, right?
My mom and dad,
yep.
My late mom. My dad is still with us at 98, Jim.
98?
He still comes in. You know, we're a clothing store. He still comes in on Saturdays for a couple of hours. And
make sure the kids are taking care of things, right?
Well, no, he's long ago, you know, passed the torch and the equity. In fact, we've passed the torch and equity on to our sons. My brother and I are second generation, as you know.
Yeah.
And my wife is involved in our business. I mean, can you imagine having, 10 active family members in your business? And we all get along. That's
I don't know. Now, see, that's the amazing thing. Well, congratulations. But I'm so proud of you and your book on how well things are going. I want you to talk to us today about hugging as a mindset. You write about that in your book. Tell us about what you mean by that.
Well, you know, again, hugging is just not a bear hug. I want your friends and your listeners to it's a mindset of really this focusing totally and absolutely first and foremost on your friends and your customers, whatever business you may be in. We happen to be in the men's and women's clothing business, but it can be for any business. So when you wake up in the morning, you're thinking about who are your customers? What are you going to do today and tomorrow to touch their lives in a personalized way? What can you do for them or with them that makes them, you know, come and shop or buy from you? But more what can it be, those little thoughtful touches that can happen, rather than waking up and worrying about price or product or how you can improve your product and price correctly? Of course, you have to do that. But if you're first and foremost in your paradigm is complete mindset, and just not yourself if you're the owner, but everybody that works with you, total company-wide, you know, focus about the customers, and have a passion about that the top of mind is customer. So when you wake up, the first thing you're thinking about when you come to your business, your store or your brokerage office or your insurance agency or whatever business you're in, you're thinking, what calls am I going to make today? How can I call Jim and make him feel good? And then maybe later on you'll talk about what you can sell him or service him or whatever it might be.
You know, Jack, one of the things that I like to do is whenever I do something like what you were saying, whenever I try to hug a customer or just do anything that's nice to somebody, I like to notice their reaction. And more, I'm seeing people act like they're surprised that somebody would actually be nice to them.
I know.
And you know, the thing is, that means that if I'm finding that in a lot of different places. That means that people are hungry for this, and nobody does this better than small business.
I completely agree with you. I mean, I think it's people are so thirsty and hungry, as you say, for these small, and we have an advantage, those of us who are smaller than larger, because we can be nimbler, we can be quick, we can change direction quickly. And again, if you're close to those customers and you know them and you make them feel good, it just makes their whole day. But I do think there's a groundswell, Jim. You know, we talked about last time. You talked about we being here in the East, and I'm less than an hour from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, think of the blackout we had the other day. I mean, mm-hmm. my wife was. I mean, so many stories our customers are telling us of people that were helpful and courteous and
right.
kind. And it not only happened in New York; it happened in Detroit. We're hearing this on the radio and TV. So those things are there, and people want that. And as small business people can deliver that.
It is actually, I believe, I'm convinced it's actually the default feeling, the default behavior of human beings that we've sort of gotten out of, haven't we?
I believe that's what people are telling me as they're emailing and reacting to my book, Hug Your Customers. They're saying, Jack, we forgot about that in our drive to be better and to make money and to worry about the numbers, short run and long run. We all got wrapped up in the technology even. And we forgot about the customer. We forgot who we were really servicing. And your book, talks about that. And so I think the book has come out at a time when people are ready for that. And it's just, as I said earlier, I pinch myself that the book has done so well so quickly. But it's spreading because I think people are buying bulk orders. They're, companies, mm-hmm. small ones, large mm-hmm. ones, they're actually using it as a, chapter. It's a very easy, as you know, because you've read the book and talk
yeah.
about it. It's a very easy read,
Now, the book is available wherever books are sold, and
yeah.
also, can they buy them from your website?
Absolutely. You can go on the website. And,
give us that website.
Well, it directs you. My website is hugyourcustomers.com.
All right.
Well, it also directs you. I mean, you can obviously buy it on Amazon. You can buy it in Barnes & Noble.
Right.
Online, or you can go into, hopefully, the local bookstores have it, airports have it. But if they don't have it, ask for it.
Hug Your Customers by Jack Mitchell, and hugyourcustomers.com is the website. And the stores, folks, are in Connecticut. One's called Mitchell's, the other's called Richards. And when we come back, I'm going to get Jack to tell us how to sell underwear on Sunday. Who ever heard of such a thing? We're going to talk about that. And also, we're going to get into a little bit of how he uses technology, that cold. The thing that people think of as cold technology to hug his customers. It really does work. He's one of the best I've ever seen at doing that. We're going to get him to tell us a little bit about that. Right after these messages, it's 20 after. Stay with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Hi, Jim Blasingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, The folks at Office Depot want to be your partner, too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Back, it's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, and we're visiting with our good friend Jack Mitchell, the author of Hug Your Customers. He's, folks, long before he was an author and a very successful author, he was a very successful small business owner, just like you and me. How many employees do you have now, Jack?
Jim, now we're blessed with 186 employees. I call them associates. I sort of love it.
But now those are, that's just in two stores, though, right?
Two stores.
So
we're still thinking like we're mom and pop.
You are.
You know, that's our mentality.
I know you run your business that way. But in your, by the way, folks, this book has a lot of little bitty chapters. That's what I like about it. Is it doesn't take you long to get through one thought. And I think you did the right thing by doing it that way, Jack. Okay, let's talk about selling underwear on Sunday. What's that all about?
Well, that's a fun little story that's in the book. It happened a couple of years ago. We're closed on Sunday. We think it's a wonderful, still a great idea to give all of us a day of rest. And anyway, we're closed on Sunday except for the holidays. And I happened to be, though, in Richards, which is in Greenwich, Connecticut, on Sunday because I was negotiating a fairly good-sized business deal with one of our vendors, and the big shots came out from New York City to see the store. And I put my briefcase in the store after we had discussed business, and I was by myself. Normally, several of my sons are with me on a business deal like that, but they had family things they needed to do, so I was certainly capable of doing it. Anyway, I went up and down Greenwich Avenue for a while, and I came back. When I came back, of course, there were three or four customers standing in the front of the store, so I let them in. What was I going to do? Of course, I let them in. That was a hug. And then I got in the store, sold them a little bit, and then they left, and all of a sudden the phone rang. I picked the phone up, and there was this woman, and she was on the phone. She said, I'm desperate. I need some underwear. And I said, my goodness, we're closed, but why do you need the underwear? And said, we're open Monday morning. She said, no, you have to understand, I'm a great customer of yours. My husband and I, we lived in a beautiful home here in Greenwich, and we packed everything. I packed everything up with all the packers and the movers, and we moved today. I packed everything, including his underwear, and he is so. And we've been married 58 years, and if I don't get underwear, I am in. I said, of course, come on down. So I waited 20 minutes, and she came down and sold her a few packs of underwear, and maybe I saved the marriage. But at least
You probably did. You know, here's the opposite of that. I walk up to this happened to me. It's happened to me recently. I walk up to a store, and it's 4 minutes to the when they open.
We've all had that.
And I walk up to the door, and I see the employee in there.
Right.
And they see me at the door. They turn around and look at the clock.
Oh, yeah.
It's 4 minutes to nine.
Right.
They go back to they were just visiting with each other. Instead of walking over and opening the door and say, come on in, I mean, what was it going to hurt them? But they stood there and let me wait till 9 o'clock. You know what I did? I waited till they opened the door. And I said, you know what? I was ready to do business with you 4 minutes ago, but right now I'm not. I got in my car and I left.
Right. I think every one of your listeners has had that experience. I've had it many times, and it just reinforces the flip side. You know, whether it's underwear or we open the stores. In our store, both stores. If you call on Sunday or when we're closed, you get an option from the telephone deal. It says, if it's an emergency, press 2. And that 2 goes right to my brother Bill's home.
911 to Bill, right?
911 to Bill. And, you know, it sounds like it's corny, but some people, you know, all of a sudden you forgot a business suit or a dress and it was a special occasion and you're flying away and you forgot to pick it up. Or, you know, I tell a lot of other fun stories about a bow tie, you know, a big bar mitzvah here. And you know, all of a sudden you didn't have your tie. I mean, we tie ties, you know. All of a sudden, you get to a wedding and you can't know how to tie your. So those kind of simple little hugs is what I describe in my book, and you can just translate that into your business, whatever business you're in, that just goes that extra mile. That those little personal things that are great.
But one of the things that you do, Jack, and I want all of us to do, is don't assume just because you are the owner and you would open the door before 9 o'clock if the customer's standing there. Don't assume that all your employees would do that. You have to train them. You have to instill that in them, don't you?
You definitely do. But you have to be. It does start from the top. You have to do it first, and you have to talk, not brag about it, but let them know that you do it. And when you do it, and it's fun to do it, and the people appreciate it, and people like that's a hug back for your associates when they're here doing it, and when they do it, we empower them, or I use the word enable them. We show them how by enabling them. And then they go that extra mile. They hug a little differently, and everybody hugs differently. But when you do that, it just pours back in terms of goodwill, and it does work from a financial point of view. I don't want to just have your viewers feel that this is fantasy. In my book, I have a whole part, as you know, called The Formula. I mean, the formula, clearly, hugging does work financially.
It's not only the right thing to do, it's good business.
You bet.
It?
Exactly. Yeah. In this great country, we have the freedom to do these simple things.
And look how much happier we all go through life when we behave this way.
It's fun to come to work. And we only have associates that wake up in the morning, they want to come to work. So it's...
Yeah, I can understand. Let me ask you... Now, one business is in Greenwich?
One business in Greenwich, Connecticut.
Yeah.
It's called Richards.
Right.
And
Mitchell's is in?
Mitchell's is in Westport, Connecticut.
Westport, yeah. I've been to both of those places. Good cities, folks. So if you ever get up that way, check them out.
Please come see us. You bet.
And Jack, it's been a lot of fun to have you on the show today. Next time you're going to be on the show, we're going to talk a little bit more about technology.
I'd love to talk about
how you use technology to hug your customers.
Without IBM, we absolutely would not have had the business growth that we've had, Jim.
Yeah.
So I'd love to talk
yeah.
about technology.
Thanks, Jack. Congratulations again. The book is called Hug Your Customers by Jack Mitchell. Check it out, folks. You'll like it, I promise. Quick break. Right back with Tim Berry. It's 29 after. This is Bruce. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website. Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah, their after-the-sale support is the best in the business too. If you'd like to see what several real business plans look like, go to bplans.com. That's bplans.com. From there, you can link to their main site, paloaltosoftware.com, if you want to purchase and download one of their products. Or you can talk to a live Palo Alto person at 1-800-433-1397. That's 1-800-433-1397. And be sure to tell them the Small Business Advocate sent you. Hello, friends. This is Jim Blasingame. It's with great pride and pleasure that I introduce our newest sponsor partner, Office Depot. As you should know by now, we're pretty particular about who we associate our brand with and recommend to you. In 5 years, my promise has always been to find and tell you about only the very best resources for your small business, whether that be an expert guest on the show or a sponsor. You probably didn't need me to tell you that Office Depot fits this profile, but I'm going to anyway. What you need to know, is more than words at Office Depot. When it comes to offering solutions for what you and I go through running our businesses, these guys get it. In the weeks and months ahead, I'm going to be telling you about some specific Office Depot offerings, but for now, I think it's enough that you should know, whether in your hometown store or at OfficeDepot.com, the folks at Office Depot want to be your partner too. If you haven't already, give them a chance to prove it. Thanks, Office Depot, for being on our team. Since I began broadcasting this show in 1997, part of my contract with you has been to introduce you to only the very best people, companies, and products that I can find. IBM fits that profile 100%. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and as you know by now, IBM is my sponsor in bringing you this show and all of my other small business resources. Take it from me, IBM has done a great job of developing the kinds of products and services you and I need to grow our small businesses and that help us gain a competitive edge through technology. You can find all of IBM's small business offerings at ibm.com/business center, including a free electronic newsletter, special offers, and online advice on helping you make the right technology and e-business choices. I hope you'll say thanks to IBM for helping me help you by giving them first shot at your technology and e-commerce business. That's www.ibm.com/business center. It's a great small business website.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. I'm glad you're here. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. That's the short one. That's the acronym for Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Or my name is, put a .com on the end of my name. That works, too. And when you get there, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Our subscriber list is now over 10,000 people receive our letter. And we thank you very much, those of you who are subscribing and who are reading it, and I want to thank you, those of you, as you may know, we had a little server problem on Sunday, which is was a rare occasion, and the letter didn't go out until Monday, and many of you emailed me and say, Jim, is everything okay? I didn't get my newsletter. That makes me feel good. I appreciate you doing that. Tim Berry is our guest. He's our good friend and our original sponsor partner, Palo Alto Software is, and we couldn't do without him on many levels. He's our good friend. President and the founder of Palo Alto Software and the author of a number of books, including Hurdle, the book on business planning. Tim, welcome back.
Thank you, Jim. Very happy to be with you again.
Good to have you back. Welcome back to the USA.
Yes, very, very happy to be back home.
You've been around the world this year, haven't you?
Well, sort of. This last trip was Latin America, Argentina, Brazil, and Mexico.
Folks, you've heard me say that Tim is the world's expert on business planning. Now, when you've heard me say that before, I can understand where possibly, if you're new to the show, you would think, well, that might be a little bit of hyperbole, but it actually isn't. It was actually a right on the money. Tim is sought after to speak to people around the world on business planning, the importance of business planning on a number of levels, from the very simple one-person shop that wants to do their business plan to the larger companies. And you've been doing this a long time, haven't you, Tim?
Off and on, yes. Back in the 80s and 90s, I was in 16 countries. It's been a while since I've been out touring for that again because of the development of Palo Alto Software and Business Plan Pro. But this year, I've done a lot of them again.
What about Latin America? Now, that's one of the things I want to talk about today as we continue this this multi-year series that we've been doing on business planning, Tim. What did you? I wanted you to tell us a little bit about what you were doing down there, and what you found, what the way the people responded to what you were saying, how they talked about their business, their vision for their own economies, and how business planning maybe even might be, if it's even different in other parts of the country, other parts of the world.
Interestingly enough, in these tours I've been doing, I've been talking to very similar groups, which makes it perhaps more common thread. I'm doing business planning for existing businesses who are software businesses who work with a software backbone system made by Progress Software in the U.S. So we're talking about small to medium business, or I should say I'm talking to small to medium businesses who all have in common that they're successful surviving businesses using a certain type of software. They're all doing software that becomes administrative, that, it goes to what we call the middle tier. People are spending tens of thousands of dollars a year to buy the software from the small businesses that are in my seminars.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the first things that strikes me as I go around to the different places is that through the United States, Stockholm, London, Buenos Aires in Argentina, Sao Paulo in Brazil, Mexico City, they do have a lot in common. There is a tier in these economies that regardless, that things feel a lot the same to the small and medium business throughout the world. The problem of accounts receivable, cash flow, planning their personnel, getting the right people, a lot of that is much more similar than different in different countries. But then on this latest trip, I will say, having spent a great deal of my life working in Latin America, I lived in Mexico City for 10 years in the 70s and had been doing seminars 10 years ago, sponsored by Apple Computer back then, but also in Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Venezuela, Mexico, Puerto Rico. I'm struck on this last trip on the progress, or lack of it, perhaps, in that side of the world. It's been a while since I've been back down there, and I'm struck at how much easier it is to operate in terms of just logistics and getting things done in the United States economy.
Compared to those, and of course, you had the opportunity to see how it was 20 years ago, and also to know how far we've come in 20 years, And I'm sure that was an interesting contrast. Stand by, Tim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 22. When we come back, we're going to get Tim to tell us some more about what he found when he was in South America and how those folks do business down there. Right after these messages, it's 22. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us. Visiting with our good friend Tim Berry, the president of Palo Alto Software. They're the folks who make Business Plan Pro 2004 and 2004 Premier, which is a product you can find at paloaltosoftware.com, as you know. Also, Tim, how many sample plans have you got up at bplans.com?
There's more than five dozen sample business plans that are there at bplans.com, complete text, tables, charts, even appendices, so that somebody who wants to see what a real original business plan looks like can read them there and start to finish.
And that's all free there, folks.
That is all free.
At bplans.com, and so that way you can go there and kind of get good at it and before you actually make your purchase if you want to, and that's, I think that's smart business on Palo Alto's part. Tim, we're talking about your trip to South America. Now, the laws of economics are the same in the U.S. and in South America. The government situations are different. The cultures are certainly different. But the fundamentals of treating customers aren't that different. Products are not all that much different. I mean, a product is a product people buy and sell food and cars and clothes and things like that. But what were the big differences between the people that you met doing business in South America and the way their counterparts would do business in the U.S.?
I was struck, Jim, on this trip by the the amount of change in logistics, getting from one place to the to another, for example.
You mean physically, a person getting...
Physically, yes. Mm-hmm. Just the quality of life, which is not new to... I mean, in Latin America, isn't new to me. I was last in Buenos Aires in almost exactly 10 years ago, for example. Buenos Aires, and capital of Argentina. I was struck by what a hard time our colleagues, the entrepreneurs, are having in some of these developing economies with... dealing with the overcrowdedness of the urban area, dealing with the logistics of getting things done. These are not the poor people living in shacks that we sometimes imagine. These are successful entrepreneurs who have 5, 10, 15, 20 employees, in some cases more than 100. They're doing business very much like we are, but I was just concerned that over the long term, the disparity in the quality of life in these in some other countries versus how much better we live in general in the United States, that disparity is a growing problem.
Is that now? So what is that? What kind of degree of difficulty does that add to their business planning?
Well, for example, one group when I was doing the seminar in Argentina, we talk about how important it is to understand cash flow, which for many businesses, practically all businesses that sell to other businesses, involves anticipating accounts receivable, which are sales that show up in your income, but they aren't in your bank because they're just paper until you get paid. Well, in Argentina, when they have that problem, they can't go to the bank and get a credit line because there is no credit available right now. They have a severe economic problem.
Yeah.
When we talk
about... So they can't fund their growth through leverage, can they?
There's working capital for such things as supporting accounts receivable just isn't available for the last year, year and a half or so, and they're working with the International Monetary Fund, but there just are not funds available to let these small businesses borrow at an interest rate and support their growth by borrowing money.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly makes one a very... much more careful about how you manage cash flow when it's you don't have a bank or working capital to deal with.
That sort of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? Because if you don't have the ability to take risks, you don't take risks, or not as much, and therefore you don't grow. Basically, if the businesses aren't growing, the economy's not going to grow.
Well, they have to learn. If we put ourselves in a business-to-business context. And for our listeners right now who are businesses selling to other businesses, those businesses don't have the habit of paying on time. You turn over an invoice, and it says net 30, and you wait and you hope in 45 days you're going to have your money.
Right.
Well, if you can imagine a business situation in which you really can't afford to do that if it's a large new sale,
right,
because you're going to incur the cost, then you can imagine how much more difficult it is to actually grow a business.
Well, basically, that almost sounds like a way of stopping the economy. If I want something, if I want to use something, you know, that's the way cash flow is the way, you know, the economy operates on cash flow, really, doesn't it? It operates on cash flow more than it operates on working capital.
When you put it that way, because our federal authorities, when they want to slow growth because of inflation, will raise interest rates, right?
Right.
It makes interest more expensive. If you're in an economy where borrowing simply isn't available, it's as if it were an infinite interest rate.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not doing it on purpose. There is no government policy or choice that's been made. It's a matter of foreign debt and devaluation and economic problems that...
Right.
Put them in that situation, and now they're trying to struggle to get out of it. But it certainly makes business more difficult. And as we on your show salute the entrepreneurs around, I'm really ready to salute the people who are making it and growing businesses in some of these third world countries, because we need them.
Well, you know, I just got back from, and you did too, from Sweden. And you know, even though that's not a third world country, they're so taxed so heavily, it's actually a similar kind of a thing. Stand by, Tim. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We'll be right back with our good friend Tim Berry the president and the founder of Palo Alto Software. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. We're visiting with Tim Berry, the author of Hurdle, the book on business planning, the guy who founded Palo Alto Software, the folks who make the best business planning software on the planet, and he's our good friend, and he's an original member of our Brain Trust and has been with me since almost the beginning of the show, way back in the very beginning of 98. Tim, when you were talking to your new friends down there in Argentina and other parts of South America, and they were telling you about these challenges, I'm interested to hear what you told them, if you had any words of wisdom to help them manage to do their business planning in the face of such limited ability to fund their growth.
Well, I believe in business planning, Jim, and I didn't find that to be anything the extra hurdles that they have to go through are accumulated. More reasons to introduce the process of business planning into the company, not the plan by itself, but the process with monthly reviews and milestones and schedules and dates and review of dates and plan versus actual, which made for very successful seminars because the more uncertainty, the more the need for planning. They have to be live plans. So the planning process helps, more than anybody thinks, helps deal with wide swings of economy and what they call the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're saying is you said, you know, you guys need to be closer to your business plan than say they do in America.
Oh, yeah. Well, review it every month, but they should do that here. Everybody should be doing
right.
that, but it just becomes
it's a survival thing
issue
for those guys, isn't it?
You need to be able to watch where you're going in the middle of what becomes a pretty hard set of the changing conditions that are always changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just in some of these cities, I was struck with, in dealing with the seminars, the people I'm talking to are people of means. This is not the wealthy class. This is like in the U.S. These are the entrepreneurial classes.
Mm-hmm.
These are people who built their own business, not from family money, and they don't have huge empires. But simply to go from where the seminar is to where the restaurant is with the traffic that exists, say, in Sao Paulo that has 24 million people,
mm-hmm.
it makes you appreciate the advantages we have here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
Not that we don't have traffic, but, boy, you have to imagine it in Sao Paulo before you really see traffic.
Yeah, I was there about 8 years ago. It took my breath away.
Yeah. Well, it was about 10 for me, and in the interval, that's what makes me impressed that over the long term, I think it's very dangerous for the world to have these huge differences in
mm-hmm.
in the prospects that different people have.
Were the people that you spoke to, were they optimistic about their business down there?
Yes, for the most part.
Yeah.
Yes, they were. The software business, well, we were talking to people who really understood for the most part, because these are survivals. You start in small business anywhere. You start with the fundamental of giving value to your customers. And I think that's the same everywhere I've gone. That's the same. If we're talking about businesses that survive and
yeah.
grow,
it doesn't matter where you are.
Good times. Yeah, it's if you start with giving value, and that's certainly that's a theme that I saw in these people all across the world. It's understanding that you have to give the value to the customer. And the other thing with software companies now that may not be for all types of businesses, but software companies, you have a preponderance of companies that are there because they're doing what they like. Software company starts because somebody likes programming computers and wants to do more of it and has to make a living. And they begin to do that to make a living. And if they have that entrepreneurial fire, then they end up hiring somebody else and they grow. But they're all revolving around the basic principle of they like what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, well, that powers a lot of entrepreneuring too, doesn't it?
Well, it seems to transcend the difficulties, doesn't it?
It keeps people going and it keeps people working. And between giving value to the customers and liking what you're doing, boy, that can make up for a lot of other sins in business.
Absolutely. Tim, thank you for your report today. Thank you for bringing back that report from South America. It's always a pleasure to have you on the show. I'm looking forward to next time already.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Jim.
Tim Berry, ladies and gentlemen, president of Palo Alto Software. We've got more to come with him, and he'll be back in about a month or so. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.